So I'm going to speak on this, on a topic, I shall never die, I shall forever live in my books. And that topic I've reserved for the last slide, but the idea is, in this seminar I'm going to present to you that, and a request also, that please read Srila Prabhupada's books. And I'm going to show you how Srila Prabhupada's books are so special to us. Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. And that's the foundation of not just this ISKCON, but any institution. Knowledge is the foundation of any institution, any sampradaya, any tradition. If you remove knowledge, everything is gone. So Prabhupada, this is, you know what, fools are those who make simple things complex. You have a simple thing and they make it very complex. These are fools. And those who make complex things simple, they are ignorant. They just leave all the complexity behind and made it very simple. But those who can make complex things simple, but yet keep the depth of that complexity in that simplicity, they are genius. They are wise, and that's what Prabhupada's books are. It looks very simple, but it's very deep. And that's what I want to show you today. How Srila Prabhupada's books have everything. But before that, Srila Prabhupada, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, he noted that that all the devotees connected with Krishna consciousness, actually he said all devotees should read all his books. And not just books, but and others, like his tapes, mon conversations. Prabhupada wanted that from his devotees. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, otherwise simply they will, after some time, simply eat, sleep and fall down. Empty mind is devil's mind. All devotion, all spirituality, whatever name you give, it's all in this small box. It's all here. It's all here, how you perceive this temple, how you perceive devotees, how you perceive holy name, it's all in your mind. And that, this has to be okay. And that can be okay only by knowledge. And that we can get by Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada also noted in his letter, this is what, 1976, to GBC. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada actually noted that 1976 is almost the end of the movement, when Prabhupada almost is winding up his pastimes. Prabhupada noted not all his devotees are reading his books. Prabhupada noted that. They're distributing, and that's very nice, but not reading. The founder Acharya understood that. And that is why, as early as 1972, he wrote a letter to Hamsadhur Prabhu and said, well, we should concentrate on training devotees very thoroughly in his books. He said that. So note the word here, training. Prabhupada, this is about training. Training and reading is very different. Reading is just your reading. Just maybe unsystematically. But training means systematic reading. Training means reading from various perspectives. Training means remembering them and applying that knowledge. So Prabhupada uses this word training. And Prabhupada says that you should instruct them from our books, from tapes. Prabhupada says we should also discuss tapes. Tapes means morning walks, what they recorded. Room conversations, and also Prabhupada wrote many letters there. Some people argue Prabhupada's letters are very contextual. Yes, they are. Prabhupada's room conversations are very contextual. Srila Prabhupada is talking to some people, and time, place, circumstance, persons are there. But then there are many general instructions also there to learn. Just like in letters, many, one Mataji is asking, okay, so what about how to take care of Tulsi? And Prabhupada is instructing her. Now that's nothing contextual to do with that person. And he gives those instructions. So even morning walks, letters and tapes, that's very important to understand. Because Prabhupada, different books, morning conversations are different flavor. If you want to understand Prabhupada and his teachings, we have to understand all his teachings. Not just a portion of his teachings. Because half knowledge is very dangerous sometimes. So Prabhupada, big books will give you understanding of philosophy. Like Bhagavatam and Gita. Srila Prabhupada's small books will give you understanding of Prabhupada's realizations. Because he's speaking. And then it is getting transcribed. In fact, Prabhupada's big books are not so big enough that people cannot understand. And Prabhupada's small books are not so small that it doesn't have philosophy and it's very simple. Even Prabhupada's small books are big. Prabhupada's letters, if you read, they will give you inspiration to preach. Srila Prabhupada's room conversations, if you read, they will give you an insight how to argue. Room conversations will also give you insight in management. Prabhupada is giving so many tips of management and practical insights into propaganda. Prabhupada's morning walks, they will give you insight how to argue with scientists. Prabhupada is walking on the beach, many disciples are there, and they are asking questions, Prabhupada is defeating them. So, different aspects of Srila Prabhupada's life give us different flavors, and all of them are important if we want to understand Srila Prabhupada. That's why Prabhupada says, you should read my books and tapes and letters and whatever it is, just digest them. But having said that, there's a problem there, because many people who read Prabhupada books and even devotees, they think that Prabhupada books are basics, A, B, C, and not X, Y, Z. They're not so complex. And we all have this, maybe when we are all new devotees, when we read Prabhupada books, we felt, you know, Prabhupada is like speaking some basics, you know. Okay, get out of birth, death, disease, old age, chant Hare Krishna. Every purport is the same. It seems like that. It seems like that when you are new. Many people come to me and they say, well, Prabhupada has nothing more to say. Everybody is saying chant Hare Krishna, that ends with that. And birth, death, disease, old age, and that's finished. So people say it's ABC, Prabhupada books are repetitive, they feel like that. So mind you, I'm not advocating it, I'll argue against it. People think they're repetitive, people think they're ABCD, Prabhupada is not talking about higher stuff, so-called higher stuff, about Radha and this and that, complex things, esoteric things. Prabhupada books are, because they're repetitive, it's sometimes boring, so there's no rasa there, mellows. It's dry philosophy and more of preaching. They're not systematic. People feel like that. And even if everything is okay, I don't have time. That's the usual argument. Where is time to read books? Okay, I've read Gita once and Bhagavatam maybe sometimes not. Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, we'll read in next life. Maybe. No time at all. What to do? In fact, this year, in Mayapur, ISKCON, they had one performa, and there it was. There were many questions. There was one question: have you read all books of Prabhupada? And there were many leaders all around the world, and 99% said no, because of lack of time. They're very busy, but then there's a problem. If you don't read books, you have no standing. You've lost the link from Prabhupada, because Prabhupada says, "I am in my books." Now I'm going to argue against all these points and show you these all points are wrong. They're all completely wrong. Okay, so the first point is Prabhupada books are not ABCD. They're not ABCD. Srila Prabhupada says in his books, this is a letter, 1974, 1st February. Prabhupada says, I have given you all the guidance and hints and it is described in all my books. Now it is up to you. Please keep our principles firmly and everything will come out successful. So Srila Prabhupada, he himself says, my books have everything. All guidance to understand philosophy, all hints for management and for preaching. Srila Prabhupada also says, why Prabhupada says my books have everything? Because of 3 points. Because Prabhupada books have practical realizations and insights. Srila Prabhupada books have summation of all sampradayas. And Srila Prabhupada books have mellows. This is what you need from a spiritual book, isn't it? You need practical realizations. You need philosophy. And you need taste and mellows. Prabhupada books offers all of them. For example, Prabhupada himself says in Vrindavan, this is one of his lectures, Prabhupada says, my purpose are liked by people because it is presented by practical experience. It is not ABCD. One cannot become unless well realized. It is not ABCD translation. If you read Prabhupada books, and we all know, there are so many books in the market, but nobody has become a pure devotee by reading any of these books. Just by reading Prabhupada books, people's life change. Why? Because he's not just speaking theoretical. He is putting his practical realizations in that. Srila Prabhupada books have practical insight. And Prabhupada says this in one of his letters. If you can make good propaganda, everyone will become attracted. That is our mission. Prabhupada is the only acharya who has introduced this word propaganda. Previous acharyas used the word preaching or prachar, what we are doing now. Prabhupada is the only word which uses the word propaganda. Nobody does that. And propaganda and preaching is little different. Preaching what I am doing, you know. Preaching and teaching. But propaganda is creativity. And Prabhupada's disciples did propaganda. And we know Srila Prabhupada, when he came to India and he did a program in Bombay for 3 days, he had a Pandal program in Bombay, and there were 10,000 people attending every day for 3 days. It was a miracle. And what the disciples did? They did a propaganda. They just didn't do preaching. What they did, the first time in India, they put balloons on skyscrapers. You know this advertisement balloons? This is the first time they put, and it was written, Prabhupada is coming, and this is everything. And people could see for a month, you know, those balloons. And then what they did, I mean to say, so you have to advertise, you have to put banners or flyers. They didn't do that. They printed flyers, but then they went up on the skyscraper and just threw them in the air. And all over Bombay there were flyers. You see, and people are going to office, suddenly a flyer comes, what's this? And everybody knew, that's called propaganda. Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, Tejas Prabhu in Delhi, Prabhupada said, now elections are coming, you do one thing, you put banners. And write on the banners, any politician who is doing illicit sex, meditating, intoxication, gambling, don't vote him. Prabhupada had this kind of ideas of propaganda. In that Bombay Pandal program, Prabhupada did a marriage. It is a spiritual program, 10,000 people. In the last day, he is conducting marriage between two Western devotees. It's a simple propaganda. And who is expert at propaganda? Maya. Maya is doing, you see, those people, they have no useful product. And in their product, it harms our health, most of their products, smoking, this and all this fast food. But they are able to give us all these things with our consent by propaganda. That's all. We know it's wrong, but we want it because there's propaganda. That power propaganda has. Prabhupada understood that. Prabhupada said, we have the best product, we have the best philosophy. Why don't you just go and do propaganda? Harinam is a form of propaganda. What we do in the streets, that's a form of propaganda. Then you should have creativity. So Prabhupada books have a very practical insight. Prabhupada books, this is very nice. This is from Bhagavatam Purport. Srila Prabhupada says, not Krishna's apparent negligence is actually his thoughtful reciprocation and the fulfillment of our deepest and purest desires. It's a beautiful line by Srila Prabhupada. This statement can only be spoken by a realized person. Krishna might sometimes neglect you, but that neglect is his thoughtful reciprocation because he wants to increase our hunger to attain him. So sometimes he neglects us, and then we want him, and a desire to attain him increases, and that's what we want. So if you understand, this statement is, well, it's not there in any of the Acharya's books. It is there in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada books have deep philosophy. Prabhupada books have summation of all sampradayas. For example, well, before telling this, I'll just tell you why I'm giving you this seminar is for a particular reason. You see, any subject you have to speak, you have to have some credentials, isn't it? Like, if you have to speak mathematics, you have to be a mathematician. You have to speak chemistry, you have to be a chemist expert. So I'm just telling you this fact because to impress a point, how important is Prabhupada's books. In so many years, whatever I spent in ISKCON, I read all books of all sampradayas. I've read everything. And I mean to say, I'll just tell you why I'm telling you this. But the point is, I learned Sanskrit, I learned Bengali, I learned Gujarati, and even Kannada and Tamil, to read all those books of all the sampradayas. Like Sri Sampradaya, there are many books of Ramanuja, Vedanta Deshika, Loka Pillaichare, and then you have Sharanagati Gadhyam, you have so many books. Madhvacharya Sampradaya, you have books of Jayatirtha, Vadiraj, Vyasatirtha, Anubhashyan, Vedanta Sutra, and then Mahabharata Parinirnaya, and then Tattvavali of Vyasatirtha. Then Nimbarka Sampradaya, you have Mahavani, and also you have Vedanta Sutra commentaries by Keshavacharya. And Vallabh Sampradaya, you have so many books in Gujarati and Sanskrit. Vallabhacharya himself wrote Subodhini Tika on Bhagavatam, Anubhashyan Vedanta Sutra. His sons Hari Raiji and Purushottamacharya, they wrote many books. I read all of them. All of them, practically. But then, what I concluded is, maybe sort of I wasted my time, you know. Because everything is there in Prabhupada books. And why I'm telling you is this, is to help you understand. I'm not giving this seminar just because it's a fanatic thing, okay? Prabhupada books, yes. I know that everything is there in Prabhupada books by practical understanding. Because after reading those, when I read Prabhupada books, everything is there. For example, if you go to Sri Sampradaya, so you know who is this? Ramanujacharya? If you go to Sri Sampradaya and if you quote this statement, they will just faint. 100%. Because this statement is a summation of all the teachings of Ramanuja. All the teachings. And this is one statement in one of the letters of Prabhupada. That's all. Prabhupada doesn't repeat this statement. So if you want to know everything in Prabhupada books, you have to read everything. Otherwise you'll miss something. You'll miss information. Prabhupada says, service is a reward of service. This is Sri Sampradaya. The essence. Now, Krishna gives us service, opportunity to serve. What's the reward? We want more service. That's all. That's the reward. Service is a reward of service. Love is not the reward of service. Because even after love, we'll keep on continuing serving Him. We want love to serve Him. That's the idea. And then, you know who is this? This is Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. If Vallabhacharya Sampradaya mainly in Udaipur and some parts of Varanasi, Banaras, they have their headquarters there. If you go to them and if they ask you what's the summary of Vallabhacharya books, this is the summary. This is Srimad Bhagavatam purport. Prabhupada speaks one line. Prabhupada says, the Lord feels grateful to His devotees for such sophisticated, unconditional service and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service. Although the devotee has no such desire in his heart. You see, such a beautiful point. Prabhupada says, the Lord feels grateful for our service. And from His perspective, in return He wants to serve us. We think Krishna is having mercy on us. Krishna thinks, I am serving Him. He doesn't think I am giving mercy. He doesn't think like that. And there's a reciprocation. This is the summation of Vallabh Sampradaya. Krishna reciprocates with love. That is why Vallabh Sampradaya is called as path of grace. And the most important word in this line is grateful. He feels grateful when you do some service. He doesn't think it's your duty to do. You're a living entity, I'm God, it's your duty. No. His process, thinking process is very different. He says, thank you very much if you're serving Him. I'm obliged for that. This is Vallabh Sampradaya. Madhva Sampradaya, this is a summary of Madhva Sampradaya, this is from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says both demigods and living entity are dependent on supreme will. They are not independent. Madhva introduced the concept of dependence and independence. Krishna is independent, we are dependent. He is a controller, we are controlled. Even our free will is dependent on him. If Krishna wants, he can erase our free will. He can just erase our free will. And okay, fine. So let me ask you a question. Is there any point in our time where our free will is erased? Can you just tell me quickly? I just want to go quick. Are you understanding my question? Is there any point of time where our free will is erased?
Death.
Oh, okay. No. Point of time in our life. We are not dead yet. Huh? No, hypnosis. No. Huh? No. Daily your free will is erased. Daily. When you sleep, deep sleep. When you are sleeping deep, you have no idea who are you. Your eye is gone. Your eye is gone. You don't know you don't know material world, you don't know anything. Your free will, your awareness and consciousness is finished. And yet, next day it comes back. That's a miracle. And that's a proof that there is a super consciousness and not just consciousness. That in fact is a scientific take there. But that's the idea. Krishna allows us to think freely. To choose what is right, what is wrong. What is love and what is lust. And make proper decisions. And that's what is Madhva's philosophy all about. This is Nimbarkacharya. This is from a small book, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. His whole philosophy, Prabhupada summarizes in one line. Prabhupada says, spiritual word is word of young boy and young girls. That's Nimbark Sampradaya. That's what he focused on. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In fact, when they are at the peak of their youth. That's Mahavani all about. Okay, this is... What else philosophy you want? More deeper than that. Srila Prabhupada books also have rasa and mellows. In fact, people say Prabhupada books are dry, they don't have rasa. They have no idea what is rasa all about. There is taste in pastimes of Lord, but then there is also taste in preaching. There is rasa in preaching. There is also rasa in philosophy. There are different types of rasa, just as we have different type of flavors of the same fruit, isn't it? We have an apple, Swiss apple, Japanese apple, this apple, that apple. Every apple tastes different. But nevertheless, the apple. So there are different type of mellows. Prabhupada books have all kind of rasas. If you read any other Acharya book, you will not find all rasas there. Previous Acharya's books, at least explicitly. If you read other Acharya's books, you might not find preaching rasa. People don't read Prabhupada books, they're not enthused to preach. We have seen that. They're just sitting in one place. And in fact, Prabhupada books also gives the highest rasa of Madhurya Bhav. That is from a small book, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada says, we should be more interested in worshipping Radharani. For how much fallen we are. Such a beautiful statement. This is the highest attainment of life. Prabhupada is saying you should be more interested to worship Radharani. That's whole Vrindavan talking about. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada also gives the means to attain that vision. How you should worship Radharani, that nobody tells. If you go to Vrindavan, people will say, okay, if you want to worship Radharani, say Radhe Radhe. But that's not how you worship Radharani. Prabhupada says, how you should worship is, this is one of the letter of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, our philosophy is above all these things. Just like we prescribe our students, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. But they are not ends in themselves. Four regulatory principles will make you a human. And not exactly a devotee. From that you have to begin. And then Prabhupada says, the real end is service and sacrifice everything for him. That's how you worship Radha. If you want to worship Radha, you have to serve and sacrifice everything for Krishna. Your life, your mind, your body, your money, whatever you can to the maximum capacity according to your level. That's how you worship Radha, not just by taking name. So Prabhupada books have rasa and the key to that rasa, to unlock it. Prabhupada books have everything. Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Leela, what's Anti Leela is like deep rasa, deep mellows there. Okay, Srila Prabhupada books are not repetitive. Why Prabhupada looks repetitive? Because we don't keep the context. We don't observe minor details. And we don't understand that Prabhupada's every statement has a multi-layered level of meaning. Every statement of Prabhupada has many meanings there. I'll give you an example now. This is from Bhagavad Gita purport. Now, how many times you have read in Prabhupada purports, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead? Like lakhs of times, isn't it? So we think Prabhupada is repeating, but no. Repetition is necessary also, to put that point in your mind. But if you understand the context, you will understand that has every statement when Prabhupada says Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, it has a different meaning altogether. When you take the context. For example, in Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in human form. Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna is Supreme Controller. If you link this statement, Krishna is Supreme Controller, with that statement, when Krishna says, when I descend in human form, you will get a new concept. And the concept is, in spite of being a Supreme Controller, Krishna comes as human. In other words, he wants to be controlled. You see? As a human, you are controlled by your mother, father, by your friends. So, that's the concept. If you give the context, you get a concept. In spite of he being controller, he wants to be controlled. And like that, you have to read Prabhupada books. Keep the context. You will get a different meaning. Otherwise, you will think Prabhupada is repeating. That's all. Okay. Please read Prabhupada books with some minor details. This is from purport. Prabhupada says, concentration of mind upon Krishna is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms, of which Shravanam is first and foremost. Kirtanam, out of Kirtanam and Shravanam, what is more important? We like to think Kirtanam. No. Prabhupada says Shravanam is more important. Hearing. Hearing is more important than chanting, because without proper hearing, you can't chant properly with proper attitude. So, read books. Observe minor details in Prabhupada books, and this is a multi-layer meaning of the statement. This statement is from Krishna book. This has at least 5 meanings. But if you really read properly there, this statement is a simple statement. Gopis are saying to Krishna, "You are simply your maidservant and slaves. Please therefore accept us by showing us your beautiful lotus-like face." Okay, now here's a question. What is the meaning here? What are the various meanings you can see here? Now, I want a quick answer because you don't have time. Okay. What are the meanings you can see? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's so many meanings in this statement. I'm just giving an example. If you read every statement of Prabhupada, you have to think of many meanings there in that, not just one meaning. Because it is spoken by the life. Prabhupada says, I didn't write these books. Prabhupada said, Krishna wrote these books. And that is why Prabhupada himself used to hear his own books. Isn't it? He used to sit and devise, why are you reading your own books? Why are you hearing your own books? Prabhupada said, because I didn't write it. And Prabhupada says, this movement will go down in the history of mankind as a revolution which saved humanity. Prabhupada said that. Because his statements are powerful. You see, one meaning of this statement is, Gopis are saying we are made servants and slaves. There's a difference between servant and slave. Servant does some service and you get something in return. Slave does some service, you don't get anything from return. And Gopis are saying, make me us your slaves. They are going much beyond that servitudeship. Another meaning is, Gopis are saying, please accept us by showing us your beautiful lotus-like face. The idea to see Krishna is not just to see him. But we want to see him to get a confirmation that he has accepted us, isn't it? That's the idea. It is not just for our eyes that we want to enjoy him, no? Isn't it? So if you call a prime minister, okay, fine. So do you accept me? Do you like me? For example, prime minister says, yeah, well, and he comes to your house to meet you. That means he has accepted us, isn't it? So, we want to see him to get a proof of his acceptance. That's what gopis are saying. We don't want to see him, because that sense gratification, that's lust. It's not all about us, it's about him. Whether he wants to make himself show to us or not. And when he shows himself, then we are confirmed he has accepted us. If we come simply to see him, we are not sure he has accepted us or not, isn't it? If you come to see me, you are not sure whether I like you or not. You may like me, but I may not like you. So if Krishna likes us, he will accept us. That's the idea. That's one more meaning. There are four or five meanings more, but I'll just go along. You just... Prabhupada's books are not at all boring. Prabhupada's books have fire of preaching. Prabhupada's books are dynamic. And Prabhupada's books have urgency and mission. This is from... Prabhupada says preaching is fight in one of his letters. He doesn't say preaching is okay. You say something. No. Prabhupada was less of a saint and more of a warrior, at least for all of us. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Senapati Bhakt. What's that? That's a warrior. This is one of the letters from Prabhupada to one of his devotees, and you see Prabhupada says, please accept my blessings. Accept my humble obeisances. I am very glad to learn that your last responsibilities in family affairs are now discharged. Your two daughters are now married. Now in this ripe old age, this person whom Prabhupada is writing letter, he's very old. His daughters are married. And what Prabhupada is recommending him? Prabhupada is saying, now you can devote yourself for spreading Krishna conscious movement all around the world. You see, when that person would have got the letter, he said, what's happening? I am so old. He was expecting Prabhupada saying, now you retired in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada is not only saying, now you preach in your locality. Prabhupada says, you preach all around the world. That is the fire of... If you read Prabhupada's books, you can't help preaching. It's impossible. You'll just so that's why I like to say, don't read Prabhupada's books on sixth floor. Yeah, sixth floor. Because if you read, you'll just jump out of window and say, Krishna is supreme, please accept it. Bhakti Siddhanta was like that. Bhakti Siddhanta was standing on the road in Jagannath Puri. He was just holding everybody by collar and he was saying, accept Krishna as supreme. And then he was landed in a problem like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, forget it, go to Mayapur. Okay, Prabhupada's books are dynamic and creative. Prabhupada's books are unique because it redefines words. Prabhupada's books are like dictionary. No acharya has redefined words. Prabhupada redefines Buddhi Yoga as Bhakti. Intelligence as bhakti. Prabhupada defines enthusiasm as intelligence in Krishna consciousness, because without intelligence and knowledge, you don't have enthusiasm. Prabhupada redefines bhav not as emotions, but as determination. Because if you have a lot of emotions for Krishna, you are determined. Without emotions, you can't be determined. Isn't it? Prabhupada redefines devotion as service, not just love. Prabhupada redefines illusion as misconceptions and assumptions, not just magic. Prabhupada's books are very different if you read properly. Prabhupada's books have urgency and mission. Prabhupada says, devotional service is more or less like a declaration of war against illusion. This is from Bhagavad Gita purport. You see, you develop urgency and a sense of mission when you read Prabhupada's books. It's not just a hobby. We have a goal, we have to achieve that. And we don't have time. Prabhupada's books are very systematic. Prabhupada's books offers flow of text, continuity of principles, focus on themes. And you might know, Prabhupada books, if you read Prabhupada purports, the beginning and the end, Prabhupada always says, summarizes the chapter. If you read properly, like Prabhupada says in 13.1 chapter, Prabhupada says in first six chapters, Gita, the knower of the body, and the position, which he can understand Supreme Lord. Prabhupada always summarizes, if you read properly, he doesn't let it loose. Prabhupada books have continuity of principles, this is from sixth chapter. Prabhupada says everything begins with Karma Yoga, then it goes to Jnana Yoga, then it develops into Ashtanga Yoga, then it goes into Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? That flow of principles. He is showing us how the philosophy flows. Prabhupada's books also focuses on themes. If you read Prabhupada's verses, every verse is focusing on a theme. For example, Bhagavad Gita 12.9, Prabhupada says in the purport, in this verse, two different processes of Bhakti Yoga are indicated. He is giving a theme of that verse. If you want to know about two processes, read 12.9. If you want to know about faith, read 9.3. If you want to know about surrendering process, read 15.5. Purport. So surrendering process is described very nicely. In every purport, Prabhupada writes a line to understand what's the theme of that verse. What else do you want? What's more systematic than that? You have themes, you have principles, and you have flow of the text. That's its systematic books. It might not be apparent to you if you don't read it properly. And you might say, okay, fine, I accept whatever you say. Prabhupada books have everything, it's not boring, it's systematic, mellows, I don't have time. So what's my answer for that? My answer is, you might know that answer. But where there is will, you know this? There is a way. Take out time and perfect your life. Prabhupada says, I shall never die, I shall forever live in my books. Please read his books before you die, and we are going to die. Don't forget that. You have to read Prabhupada's books at least 8, 9, 10 times. You should be reading his books. Otherwise, we can't even understand Krishna, we can't even understand what Prabhupada wants from us. We don't have a sense of mission there. This is not just, we are not just here for hanky-panky. You know hanky-panky? We are here on a mission. And that's what our duty is, to help Prabhupada in the mission, all of us. Whatever position you are, no problem. And that's my request from all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any questions? Just 1 minute more. Just before that, I'll just like to announce here. I have two pen drives here. Not two, I have many, but I'm just showing you. These are pen drives in English. I have given many seminars all around the world, and of course on many themes, on science and spirituality, on Bhagavad Gita. I've explained entire Bhagavad Gita in this, logically and systematically, and try to help you understand how Prabhupada books are very deep. So these are 200 hours of lectures, 12 hours of video. You can hear this in your car, in whatever. I have a mail here, then you can ask me questions and we can share knowledge, and that's how we can advance. So anybody wants this, please, you can have this after this talk, whatever. I'll be here. Okay, what do you want to ask? Well, till the time it's just, yeah. Okay, that's a good thing. That's a practical advice. Close your Facebook, close your WhatsApp. In fact, throw your phone, you know, somewhere. You can't go to the kingdom of God by having devil in your pocket. This phone, this internet is the house of Satan. Let me say like that. And if you go in this internet, you will not come out uninjured. Remember that. He'll injure you. So stay away. Whatever is needful, do that. But stay away from these things. And you have time. You have all time to read Prabhupada. This is a good comment. Thank you for that. Okay, so any questions or what's? I think before they blow conch shell, we can.
I have one question. In the 10th canto, you can see that there are Krishna pastimes, but at the same time, it's like a journey of the devotee back to Bhakti. It represents this whole 10th canto, right?
Mm, yeah.
So, what about those demons and those anarthas? Are in this particular sequence, or it's.
It's in a sequence. It's in a sequence. Everything is. Anyway, sorry for going very fast. I just went very fast. But anyway, that's also a flavor, you know. If you go slow, there's another flavor. If you go fast, there's another flavor. But, anybody wants to ask a question, I'm done there. Okay, so you're going to read Prabhupada books now? Now, how you have to read is make a plan. Don't just think I'm going to read. Go and take a copy, write there. Make a plan. In this time, I will read this many books. Make a goal, make a deadline. And if you don't, and if you're not able to read books till deadline, be dead. Okay? That's like you have to really put a deadline there. Not postpone it. So make a plan like that. Okay, whole Bhagavad Gita I'll read in 6 months. Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe 1 year, something, whatever you can. And go like that. Don't just keep it loose. And every Ekadashi, you should then review whether you are doing justice to your plan, whether you are approaching deadlines or not, how you have to refine your plan. That's how you should be going along. So please do that. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.